I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Ephesians and chapter 6. Book of Ephesians and chapter 6. When I was 17 years old, I joined the Army. And when I was 18, I received orders that made me one of the 2.5 million U.S. servicemen who served in Vietnam during the Vietnamese, or during the war there. And I remember when I got my orders, one of the first things they did was before they sent me actually to Vietnam, they sent me to Oakland, California. And there in Oakland, California, I received a duffel bag full of green clothing. And everything from the skin out. It was all green, you know. And I received a duffel bag full of clothing. I got some new boots that were suitable for living and working in a tropical environment. And then when I arrived at my duty station in Vietnam, I was taken to the supply room and I was issued a brand new M16 rifle with 5 ammo clips, 2 belts of ammunition, a helmet, and a flak jacket. Flak jacket is what you can either wear to protect you from the flak of a grenade, or if you're riding in a truck, you can sit on it. It makes a nice cushion, but it also protects, you know, in case something blows up underneath. Okay, so that was a good thing to know. But the point I'm making in all of this foolishness is that there's no army in the world. There's no army in the world that will send their soldiers to fight a war until after they have supplied them with everything that is needed to fight the war effectively. No army in the world will do that. In order for soldiers to be effective, they have to be properly equipped. They have to be properly equipped. Now, several weeks ago, we started a study concerning spiritual warfare. And we saw that this spiritual warfare is something that, as believers in Jesus Christ, every one of us are involved in this warfare because all of us have a common enemy. He's called a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. And so the whole purpose of this series of studies is basically to remind us and to help us to understand 2 very important facts. First of all, that we are in a spiritual warfare. Many Christians go happily, merrily through their Christian life, never realizing that they are at war. And therefore, there are many Christians who live in constant danger of serious attacks. And many times we see Christians falling into terrible sin, and it's all because of the fact they never understood that we're at war. We have a spiritual enemy. So we begin our study by noticing some of the tactics that Satan uses. And then in our study together last time, we began to see how that we can have victory. And you remember there were 3 things that we mentioned last time that will make us to be victorious over our spiritual enemy. You remember there were 3 things. First of all, be strong. In other words, strong not in our own power, but strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so we're to be strong. We're to be sober. We're to be vigilant. That simply means we're to be seriously alert. We're to be seriously alert because this enemy is real and he's after you. And so we need to be alert. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, you see. And so we're to be sober. We're to be vigilant. And then we're to be steadfast, you remember. In other words, we are to be faithful in our resistance against Satan, and we're to be faithful or steadfast in our service to the Lord and in our stand on the Word of God. But not only has God given us these instructions for victory, He's also provided for us the armor that we need. The armor that we need to protect ourselves during the spiritual battles that we face every day of our lives. So you found Ephesians and chapter 6. Let's begin reading, if you would please, in verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11, the Apostle Paul said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Wherefore, it simply means because of that fact, okay? Because of the fact that we have this enemy, Paul said, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And so during the next couple of weeks, we're going to be examining the different pieces of equipment that God has provided for us in order that we might effectively stand and overcome this enemy who seeks to destroy us. And in our study today, we're going to see the first piece of equipment that God has made available to us. And that piece of equipment is called, number one, the belt of truth. The belt of truth. In verse number 14, the Apostle Paul said, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Having your loins girt about with truth. The standard uniform for the Roman soldier was a loose fitting tunic. And it was really nothing more than a large square piece of cloth with a couple of holes cut in it for the head, you know, and the arms and what have you. And it was normally worn in a way where it draped loosely over the body. But when it came time for battle, the soldier's tunic, his own garment, could actually become dangerous. It could become dangerous for him. Since most combat in those days was hand-to-hand, right? This afternoon I was kind of, for a few minutes, watching on the History Channel, and it was the Goths and the Romans. Boy, they fought weird back then. But anyway, you know, it was all hand-to-hand. They run into each other and hacking at each other with their swords and all of that. But here's the thing. In that kind of a combat, if your garment was loose, it made an easy handle for the enemy to grab your own garment and take control of you and kill you. You see? Your own garment could be used against you. Not only that, if a tunic was loose, it could hinder the movement of the soldier. He'd get his feet tangled up in his own garment and cause him to trip and to fall and to ultimately be killed. And so before the battle began, the wise soldier would carefully gather up his garment. He would gather up his tunic and he would hold it all in place securely with a leather belt. And that belt would be to gird up the garment, to pull it up, hold it tight, get it out of the way so that he might be able to battle effectively. So the phrase then, "girt about your loins," simply means fasten your belt. That's what it means. It means to fasten your belt. Now, the Apostle Paul commanded Timothy and us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, that we should strive to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. That ought to be our desire. That ought to be the goal in our life. To be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, we do not wear robes today like the Roman soldiers of old. But because we are in a spiritual warfare with a deadly enemy, we do need to be girded up. However, the girding that we're talking about is not a physical girding. It's not a physical girding. Notice it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Apostle Peter puts it in these words. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. So with that thought in mind for the next few minutes, a couple of things that I want us to notice together concerning the girding up of our minds, putting on that belt of truth. How does that apply? Well, let's notice letter A, the belt defined. The belt defined, the belt with which we are to gird up our minds, it's obviously not a physical belt of leather. The Apostle Paul made that clear back in verse 13 and 14 when he said, "Take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So the belt with which we are to gird up our minds, okay, the belt with which we gird up our minds is simply the truth of God's Word. That's what we are to gird ourselves up with. And so with that thought in mind, let's notice letter B, the truth explained. The truth explained. When the Apostle Paul speaks of our being girt about with truth, he's talking about a couple of specific areas of truth. A couple of specific areas of truth. Number one, the content of that which is true. The content of that which is true. Now, we mentioned this last time, but let's notice it again. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. And the Apostle Paul, when we consider the context of these verses that we're looking at tonight, has already warned us that great spiritual danger is going to come upon us if we do not know what is true. Great spiritual danger comes from ignorance of God's truth. From ignorance of God's truth. In fact, in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Unfortunately, that verse describes the majority of Christians today. That verse describes the majority of Christians. They're tossed about with every wind of doctrine. They hear this fellow over here who presents this, and well, that sounds logical, that sounds reasonable, that sounds believable. I'm going to go that way, and it works until somebody else comes along with another idea, and well, you know, that sounds even better. And so they're like this. And they just go from doctrine to doctrine. Whatever the new idea, whatever the new teaching is, they just go all around. Now, did you notice what I said? They say it sounds logical. They say it sounds reasonable. But what you think is logical and what I think is logical, what you think is reasonable and what I think is reasonable, that is not the determining factor of whether or not something is true. The way we determine what is true is when we get into God's Word. This is truth. And this is the measuring stick by which we measure the truthfulness of all things. And that's why God gave us His Word. It's simply because He does not want us going back and forth, back and forth. He wants us to know His truth, and He wants us to know it so that we might be able to stand, so that we might be able to have victory in the evil day. And the only way we're going to have that kind of victory is by knowing God's truth. You remember the story back in the book of Genesis? Remember the story how that Satan showed up in the Garden of Eden? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. He said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now when you read that, you immediately recognize that Satan's question was actually a test. His question was actually a test. In other words, he wanted to know, how well does Eve know what God has said? How well does she know it? So his question is, did God say this? And of course, immediately, he got the answer to his question. He found out immediately, Eve did not know God's Word. She did not know it very well. You say, how do you know that? Well, look at chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 3. The woman said unto the serpent. Now remember, Satan said, did God say that you can't eat of every tree in the garden? Now here's her answer. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said. Now she's going to quote God's Word here, okay? Eve said, I'm going to tell you what God told us. Here's what God said. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. But if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, that is not what God said. God never said anything about not touching the tree. He simply said, don't eat of the tree. Never mentioned anything about touching it. Never did. Eve was actually guilty of something that is very serious. She was guilty of adding to the Word of God. You never add to God's Word without paying a consequence. You never add to God's Word without paying a consequence. You see, the Bible makes it very clear. When we add to God's Word, or when we take away from what God has said, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, we cannot really keep the commandments of God. In other words, if we are adding to His Word or taking away from His Word, we become vulnerable to sinning against God and to giving Satan victory in our life. That's what happens when we begin to mishandle the Word of God. And that's why Satan has led men, so-called godly men, many times. They're called godly men, and yet they are actually men who are peddlers of Satan's lies. And the way they do it is by editing and by changing what God has said and recorded for us in His Word. You see, Satan wants to trip us up so that he can defeat us. And he knows that one of the best ways to do that is to take away from us the belt of truth. See, if he can strip us of the belt of God's truth, then it's going to be much easier for him to win the victory over us. But we need to remember the truth that is stated in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17, where it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. Now, why is all of that necessary? Okay, look at the next verse. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As a child of God, we ought to praise Him every day for our Bible. Every day we ought to praise Him, we ought to thank Him, and we ought to strive to soak in the truth that it contains daily. We need to allow it to shape our lives. We need to allow it to feed our souls. We need to allow it to guide our footsteps. It is truth. And it's in the pages of this book that we find the keys to life everlasting and the keys to a life worth living. It's in the Word of God. And so when the Apostle Paul speaks of our being girt about with truth, he is referring to, number one, the content of that which is true, talking about the Bible. But the phrase also refers to a second thing, and that is this: the attitude toward which it is true. The attitude toward that which is true. And I believe this is the main point the Apostle Paul was actually talking about in our text. In other words, our attitude toward God's truth. What is your attitude toward God's truth? When what you want to do and what the Bible says you ought to do come into conflict, okay? What I want to do and what the Bible says I ought to do, they don't agree. So what's your attitude toward God's Word? What is your attitude toward God's Word? Our attitude ought to be the attitude of commitment and the attitude of preparedness to obey whatever God's Word says, regardless of what I want, regardless of what I think, regardless of how I feel. You remember that Roman soldier we talked about earlier? If he allowed his garment to hang loose and to be whipped around by every breeze that blew, his enemy would easily be able to grab hold of him. It would be very easy for him to become tripped up in his own tunic. And so the Roman soldier desired that his robe, his tunic, might be tucked up, held tight against his body by his belt. And in the same way as soldiers of Jesus Christ. As soldiers of Jesus Christ, it's possible for us to allow the loose folds of our life, the loose folds of our life, to blow around us, providing all kinds of handholds for Satan to get a hold of us and to pull us down. All kinds of things that can trip us up and hinder our work with God. And that's why the Apostle Paul gave the admonition in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Don't get all wrapped up in the things of that. Don't allow those things to trip you up, to ensnare you. And the reason why is simply that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Therefore, the attitude that we have toward God's truth should be the attitude of wholehearted commitment. That's the attitude that we ought to have. That's why the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 119, verse 10, when he said, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." See, the reason why we wander away from God's Word, simply because we don't have a whole heart toward God. That's why. See? Psalm 119, verse 34, "Give me understanding, I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." In other words, David was a man after God's own heart, and one of the reasons was because he had a heart that was wholly after God. He was a wholehearted follower of the Lord. Let me tell you this, half-hearted commitment. Half-hearted commitment. That's the kind of commitment where you serve God on Sunday and ignore Him the rest of the week. Where you serve God while it's convenient and you ignore Him when it's not convenient. That's half-hearted commitment. And half-hearted commitment, are you ready? It's not commitment at all. Half-hearted commitment's kind of like a half-truth. All right? There's no such thing. It's either true or it's a lie. There's no half-truth. It's either true or it's a lie. And when it comes to commitment, the same thing is true. Half-hearted commitment is not commitment at all. And if we're going to have victory over our enemy, we need to be girded with God's truth, and we need to be committed in walking in obedience to His truth. One writer said it very well, and I'll give you the quote. The committed Christian is prepared in the day of battle. Because, here's why he's prepared. He's ready for the battle. Here's why. Because he has set his heart on the Lord in total commitment. He is true to his profession, and he is disciplined in his walk. Thus, the enemy cannot easily trap him or defeat him in the day of battle. So to be girt about with truth simply means that we embrace God's truth as it is revealed in the Word of God, and we live out that truth in every day of our life. In other words, it means that we're not merely Christian hypocrites who play the Christian game. Rather, we're real Christians, girded about with His truth, totally committed to it. Totally committed to it. Number three, I want you to notice the provision of that which is true. You see, not only did the Roman soldier's belt keep his tunic from becoming a dangerous and a deadly hindrance in the day of battle, it also was the place where his weapon and other pieces of necessary equipment could be stored. As a soldier in Vietnam, I was issued we called them an ammo belt. Is that what they call them, Brother Delbert? Okay. I was issued an ammo belt. On that belt, there were several pouches that would clip onto that thing. There was extra magazines there for my rifle. There was a pouch with some extra clips of ammo. There was a first aid kit. There was a canteen. There was even a poncho for wet weather and a shovel if I needed to dig a hole. Okay, had all that stuff strapped on there, you see. And for the Christian soldier, this is important that we understand. That for the Christian soldier, the belt of truth that girds us about, that belt is the foundation for every other piece of equipment that God has provided for us in this spiritual warfare. In other words, without the belt of truth, there's nothing. You understand? It's foundational. That belt of truth is very important to victory in our lives. Now, when our loins are girt about with truth, it simply means that we have taken up the first essential piece of the whole armor of God, so that we might be victory over the enemy who seeks to hinder us, to destroy us, and so that we might be living for the Lord each and every day of our lives. And just like the soldier on the field of battle, if we are not properly equipped, we will most certainly become a casualty in this spiritual war that rages around us. We will soon become just a statistic of those who have been spiritually listed as KIA. You know what that means? KIA? That means killed in action. And that's what we'll become. That's what we'll become. Spiritually, if we do not apply this armor that God has provided, and it all starts with the belt of truth. Now let me close. I'm going to make two thoughts and I'm going to be done. If you have never embraced the truth of the gospel, then I want to say to you tonight that you need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to come to Christ and allow Him to plant His truth in your soul and change your life so that you will begin to be prepared for a life of victory over that enemy that wants to destroy you and that wants to damn you. Okay? And for those of us who are saved, I want to challenge each of you and myself. I want to challenge all of us to ask God to help us. But as the Apostle Paul said in our text, that every morning we might begin the day by putting on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That's what we need to do. Put on the whole armor of God. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray that You would take these few thoughts, and Lord, help us to understand how very important it is for us that we know what Your truth is. It's so important for us that we allow that truth to gird about our lives, and Lord, that we might be totally surrendered and committed to it. Lord, if there's one here tonight who's never trusted Christ, pray that tonight would be a day of salvation for them. Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to be diligent in this area, that we might be victorious in our lives over that wicked one.